What is happening here has been foreordained, and he has ordained you to listen to this message. As one man said, my job is to speak to you, and your job is to listen to me. Please don't finish before I do. So we're roaming through Romans, and we've come to chapter 4, and as we have looked at this great truth in God's Word, what would you say is the theme in the book of Romans? What is Paul driving home? Don't all answer at once, but justification by faith, which means that we who do not deserve it have been made right with God, not by anything we do, not by keeping His law, but by faith in what Christ has done for us. So Paul has introduced justification. He has defined it. He has explained it. In chapter 4, justification is illustrated or personified through the life of Abraham. And last week we looked at verses 1 to 8. And to catch the flow of what's happening, would you follow in your Bible as I read again verses 1 through 8? Then we'll move on. And he's speaking to Jews and Gentiles, and he's writing, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or account sin. So as Paul wants to reach the hearts of his people there, he brings up the one person that the Jewish people looked at as their greatest hero, the father of the Jewish nation, the father of faith, and he explains to them about Abraham's salvation. And if God dealt with Abraham this way, then they had to pay attention to this, because they were into this. Good works. The Pharisees prayed on the street corner so everybody would think they're holy people. And sometimes they gave money to the poor, and they paraded themselves as righteous by their works. They also paraded themselves as righteous before God by saying, we keep the law. And of course, no one ever successfully keeps the law. So he brings Abraham before them and says, Abraham was not saved or made right with God by any good works or by keeping the law. Now he brings the second heavy hitter, David, because the Jews look to David. And he's saying David also talks about being saved apart from works. Now he's going to move on. And this morning we consider the truth from verses 9 through 25 as we find Abraham's faith in the sovereign God. Now, it's not really exactly accurate to do this, but let's think of faith in two ways. There is a faith for justification, which means we are trusting in what Christ did by his death and resurrection to save us from our sin and give us eternal life, to justify us. That is justifying faith. But now, as we believe, God didn't immediately take us to heaven. We're here. And we are here as his people to live by faith. So we're going to talk this morning about living by faith every day in this world until God takes us to heaven. And we're going to have an example of Abraham's faith as he trusted God. Verse 9, then, of Romans 4. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised? Now, as we read this text, let's know that the circumcised are the Jewish people. The uncircumcised are the Gentile people, or all the rest of us. Does this blessedness of being justified by faith come upon the Jewish people only, or upon the Gentiles also? That's the question. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but by uncircumcised. Now, he's saying that God blessed Abraham with faith and called him righteous before he was circumcised or obeyed the law of circumcision. It was before. So he's saying that Abraham was not saved by obeying the law of circumcision. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith that he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be accounted to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Now, the wording gets a little confusing maybe as it's stated here, but it's very important truth. Our salvation rests upon believing this. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which you do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, or strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses, and was raised up for our justification. Now we want to work through this passage, and on the back of the bulletin is an outline to follow as we deal with eternal truth This is life or death, heaven or hell, salvation or living in unbelief. And the first statement is that Abraham was justified by faith, not in the law of circumcision. Now, as you read Genesis 12 through 18, and you see how God called Abraham and how he instructed him how to live and what he wanted him to do, he commanded Abraham to be circumcised and all of his family. Now, was this for salvation? No. God had declared Abraham a righteous man almost 400 years before the law was given. So Abraham was declared righteous 14 years before he was circumcised. Now that's a very important thing to catch. He's righteous by believing, by trusting. Now, what about Abraham's circumcision? Verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision. For what purpose? It was a sign of belonging to God. It set him and his family apart. We belong to God. It was an external sign. Then Paul said it was a seal of the righteousness of faith, which means that it is a reminder to them that God would keep his promise. So circumcision was important externally as a sign and as a seal. But the truth is, external observances can never make a sinner righteous. Nothing we can do external. Read the Bible, pray every day, go to church every Sunday, be a church member, give an offering, be baptized. None of that can make us righteous. External observances can never, ever do that. So we come to 2A on the outline, on the sign and the seal for God's people today. And what does Paul say about that in verse 16? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure. We are living under the grace of God, and it is by faith that we are right with Him. And so our circumcision is a spiritual circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. It is an inner reality of God saving us by faith in Jesus Christ. And it is not an external observance. Now, as God's people, we love our Lord. We love His Word. We know that we need Him in prayer. We know that we need each other in worship. So all of these things are done internally and then externally, not the opposite. Doing the external thing first never saves anybody. So Paul is teaching us great important truth that it is the sign and seal for the elect today then is only faith. Faith and faith alone. Not baptism, not church membership, not anything that can be done externally. It is by faith and faith alone, so that it shuts out no one. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a certain education. You don't have to have a certain career. You don't have to have any certain physical attributes. God is able to save by faith, those who trust in him. Now, let's think about this matter of Abraham's living faith then. He's made right with God, yet he's left on earth and he's got to go through life daily. In verses 17 to 25, we learn that Abraham was strong in faith. He was strengthened in faith. And it says that Abraham believed in God's ability to keep his promise. Now, last week, we read the promise. And in Genesis 15, Abraham's about 100 years old. And God comes to him and says, I'm going to make you a great family. I'm going to give you a great family. A lot of people in your family. And Abraham says, well, Lord, I'm childless. And here I am, 100 years old. My wife Sarah's womb is dead. And God said, I will do it. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, Paul is commenting on that. He's saying Abraham believed God for something humanly impossible, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in God's ability to keep his promise. We live by faith daily, under the sovereignty of God. Is he able to come through with what he has said here in his word? Abraham believed it. He was called righteous. Abraham believed God could resurrect his dead body. He believed God could resurrect Sarah's dead womb. And he was counted as righteous. Any of you have anything today along this line where something is humanly impossible and your only recourse is to trust God? Well, we all do in some measure. We all need to trust him that way. Now here's the interesting thing, the way God worked this out. I don't know how, I've forgotten how many years Abraham and Sarah might have been married until they had Isaac. Number of years. Now, could not God have given them Isaac way back there early when Abraham's still a young man of 70 or so? I mean, 30 or so. Well, of course he could have, but he did not. So how does God work sometimes with his people? He waits for all natural strength to disappear. He waits for all human effort to disappear so that we know he's doing it. Therefore, may God be glorified. That's what he's doing here. Now then, Paul says that this matter of righteousness in verse 23 was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but also for us. It shall be given to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So this way of salvation, this way of justification, is just as real today as it was for Abraham. That God declares us righteous, not on the basis of works, not on the basis of keeping the law, but simply by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is for all believers. And then Paul closes in verse 25 by stating what Christ has done for us. In a sense, we say we're not saved by works, but we could also make a statement that we are saved by works, not our own, but the works of Christ. And Paul will state what he did. What did he do for us? Verse 25. He was delivered up, that is, on the cross, because of our sin, and was raised for our justification. So it's the death and the resurrection of Christ that we have here that's before us. That is the work of Christ for us. And it's stated as being delivered up. And we read in the book of Acts that it was God the Father who planned for Christ to be on the cross, and he used wicked people to put him there. He was delivered up for because of our sin. He was raised for our justification. So in the cross and the resurrection, we have the very heart of being right before God. Now in this verse, you have a cause and effect. And we know a lot about that just from life. There's always a cause and always a result, a cause and an effect. And regarding our justification, the cause is his resurrection. We are justified because of his resurrection. The resurrection proves that God was pleased and satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It fully satisfied his justice. It fully supplied the sacrifice to forgive our sin. If God had not been satisfied, Jesus Christ would have remained in the grave, and we would have no Savior. We would not be justified. It's because Christ was justified before God that we have justification. The cause is the resurrection. The effect and the result is that we are justified before God, given a position before him like this. Just as if we had never sinned. We who have disobeyed, we who have neglected God, we who do not love him with all our hearts, we who deserve his eternal punishment, are forgiven, pardoned, placed before him as if we had never sinned. That's what this is about. That's what God has done for us. What a glorious truth we have in Scripture. And what a great message we have to give to the world. And so, with this thought in mind, let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of the Bible, which takes us into thoughts and truth that we could never think of on our own, which teaches us your grace, your sovereignty in a way that does affect our life. And now, Lord, we bow before you and ask you to do a work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our hearts this morning and cause us to respond to this text of Scripture and to bow before you in humility and to cry out for your mercy, to justify us, and to cause us to live by faith here and now each day. May Christ be honored. In his name, amen.